to stop carrying out these attacks, putting people's lives at risk and disrupting the global economy, which will also have a damaging impact on people's shopping and their day-to-day shopping when they go about their lives.
Rishi Sunak says the UK and US had no choice but to take action after civilian ships were attacked by the militant group. The government insists no more strikes are planned. The Houthis say it will not go unpunished after claiming six of their fighters were killed. They say they'll continue targeting the shipping channel. Elsewhere, the Israeli Foreign Ministry says it has the right to defend itself against accusations it's carrying out genocide in Gaza. It's countering claims brought by South Africa at the International Court of Justice. A mother who murdered her 18-month-old son in a night of what's described as violent discipline must spend at least 19 years behind bars. Shan Hughes, who's 27, was handed a life sentence alongside her ex-partner, 35-year-old Jack Benham, for killing Alfie Phillips in November 2020. Benham must serve a minimum term of 23 years. Handing down sentence at Maidstone Crown Court, Mr. Justice Kavanagh paid tribute to the infant.
He melted the hearts of everyone he met. The victim impact statements of his father, Sam Phillips, and his grandfather, Mark Demain, vividly illustrate how much he was loved and how much grief and devastation his murder has caused to those who loved him.
The UK economy grew by 0.3% in November, avoiding a technical recession for now. It declined in October by the same margin. And a black bear saved from a Ukrainian zoo during the war has been rehomed in Scotland. Yamphill now has a specially built enclosure at Five Sisters Zoo in West Lothian. That's the latest. I'm Ruth McKee.
Thanks very much, Ruth. We'll have another news update at 2 o'clock.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM. Proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Well, it's all fairly overcast outside here today, and it's going to be like that for the rest of the day. As high of 7 this afternoon, and it's going to go down to 2 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, well, we're looking at a day of sunny intervals and a gentle breeze, a high of 5, though, during the day, and a low of just 2 tomorrow night. Similar kind of day on Sunday, sunny intervals and gentle breeze, high of 5, but actually minus 2 on Sunday night. And then beautiful sunny day on Monday, but only a high of just 3 and minus 4 on Monday night. So that's going to be really, really cold. Another lovely sunny day on Tuesday, but again, high of 4 and minus 1. And we'll get right through to Wednesday, because that is when we are expecting the sleet showers in amongst the sunny intervals.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
On 98FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Patrick Sherring. Music and conversation on 123. Welcoming the weekend on Phoenix 98FM.
So good afternoon. Great to have your company with us here on Phoenix for a Friday lunchtime. And thanks as ever to Michelle for 3 hours of great broadcasting today, and indeed every day throughout the week. Fascinating interviews, and you'll be able to check all of that out on the website. So my name is Patrick, and this is the show that we call 123 Friday, 2 hours of good music and chat for your Friday lunchtime entertainment. And we've got a show for you today. Later on at 1:45, we'll have the birthdays quiz. Three people who've had birthdays in recent times. I'll give you the clues. I'll play a track, and if you want to play along, you can just email us radio@phoenixfm.com. Vintage Chart at 2:30 takes us back to this week in 1980 with three classics. I'm delighted to say I have guests with me here in the studio today. Good afternoon, Chris and Bob.
Good afternoon, Patrick.
It's great to have you with us here today. So what are you going to be chatting to me about?
We're going to be talking about fundraising for cancer research.
Right. And do you do lots of fundraising for cancer research?
Yes, and have done for about 30 odd years.
Right, okay. And raised a lot of money?
About $100,000.
Personally?
Our committee, yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's brilliant. Well, we look forward to hearing all about that. So that's our show for today. Do keep it Phoenix, won't you?
For the best music and chat in town, Patrick Sherring on Phoenix FM.
And kicking us off today, another track from the album that's my presenter pick of the year for last year, Lauren Daigle. The album is up for Grammy nomination for Christian Album of the Year. From this is the track, These Are the Days.
We can't.
Oh, that's a great track, Leon Diego. These are the days. And if you missed the Brentwood Gazette item about all of the tracks that we've chosen up here for our favourite track of the year and our favourite albums, never fear, you can still find that on our website. You just have to look for Phoenix FM in the papers, and there it is. And of course, there is an article about the station every single week in the Brentwood Gazette, which always has a full schedule in it as well. Michelle Ward, who was just here singing to us, driving away as she is at the moment, but she's going to be listening to herself now, because she is a wonderful singer. This is a track that she made a few years ago, her version of Wonderful World.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you, and I think to myself, see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful.
Wonderful Michelle Ward, and What a Wonderful World. We'll be chatting with Chris and Bob very soon.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
This little cottage came to market. This stylish flat made a home. This country house had hundreds of steps, whilst this bungalow had none. And this little semi said, "Me, me, me, make me your home."
Whatever your property requirements, Beresford's have it covered. To book your free valuation, pop into one of our 17 branches across Essex and into Greater London, or visit beresfords.co.uk.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer. Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytalford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
I'm John Charmy, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Yes, don't forget that great sports show there by John, and covering all the local information as well as all the national and international. So 16 minutes after one here on a Friday lunchtime, and chatting here with Chris and Bob, charity fundraisers for cancer research.
Yeah, in Harlow.
In Harlow. So why cancer research?
Well, it started back in 1990, Patrick. I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and during the start of my treatment, Chris decided that she wanted to help. So she contacted the Harlow Committee, and they were, as it was, they were collecting at Harlow Town Centre. So she went up there to help, to meet them, and started collecting then. And then later on, fairly soon after, my mum got involved as well, and they've been doing it ever since. Well, my mum sadly passed away a year and a bit ago, but right up until the end, she was still an active part of it.
Absolutely. And we'd probably need to say to the listeners now that you're all right now.
I'm still going strong. 33 and a half years.
Absolutely. 33 and a half years later on. Absolutely. Absolutely. So is the Harlow group a kind of big group of people?
No. Very, very small. I think the most members we ever had was once we had seven. But by the very nature, I think a lot of people join because they're unwell with cancer themselves. So we have lost a number of members over the years. Sadly, when Bob's mum passed away, his sister also passed away a few days before, and they were both members of the committee. So we lost those two. So since then, Bob's now officially joined, although he always used to do stuff. He's officially joined the committee, as has our eldest daughter. So we're up to six of us now, and that's it. There's only six of us
okay.
at the moment.
So what kind of fundraising do you do?
Oh, you name it, I think we've done it. We've had barn dances, quiz nights. We started last year doing a quiz in memory of Bob's mum, the Maureen Walters Memorial Cup, which will be held every year. We've done sponsored swims. I do a lot of baking of cakes, and I make cakes, and I don't charge for them. I just ask for a donation to cancer research. So we've raised money through that. We've done sponsored walks, runs, bike rides. We've done, every month we do something called the Makers Market, which is in our Harlow Town Centre. We have a stall of all stuff that we've made, and we sell stuff there. We've done jumble sales, we've done boot sales. I think you name it, we've probably done collections
in the supermarkets. Yep. We do country shows, carnivals, stalls at those, don't we?
Yep. So just about anything,
really. We'll hear a little bit about some of those things in a bit. But you said making there. So what kinds of things do you make, and what other things do other people make?
Right. So we've got a couple of ladies who knit for us babies' jumpers, which sell really well. We've made blankets. I've just made some Christmas runners, because obviously ready for Christmas. Before Christmas, when we had a stall, carrier bags, reusable bags, boxes to put your tissues in. I paint plant pots with fancy patterns, stones, placemats. I can't think what else we do. We're dolls. We dress dolls, and we've made countless things, really. I can't think of anything particularly, but you name it, we try and make it.
Well, it's interesting, though, because, I mean, you don't automatically think of, when you're thinking about fundraising for a charity, about that whole range of creative activities that you've just come across there.
Definitely. So Bob's mum did the Maker's Market for years and years, and I said to her, when I retire, I'll come and help you. But obviously, sadly, she then got ill, so I've taken it over. So now my machine is going quite often, and I'll try and make anything that I think we might sell. I've knitted bobble hats to sell, scarves,
yeah,
a whole range of stuff.
My word, that's it. And so, how much time do you reckon that you spend doing all this?
Quite a lot.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, and I knit as well, so I knit baby clothes as well to sell.
Yeah, well, you were knitting in the car as we were coming along, weren't you, today? So,
I'm always knitting something or crocheting something. I've made like hanging Christmas decorations and,
Brilliant.
Making something. I'm always, of an evening, I can't sit, I get bored, and I can't watch, I'm not a telly person, so I'm always doing something. Much all the time.
Well, that's fantastic, though, the way that you're channeling this creativity into, you know, doing something good.
Yeah, definitely. It's the last Maker's Market we did was a really good one. Just before Christmas, we raised £187. We have sat there all day for £13.50. But, you know, you have to take the rough with the smooth of how it goes. But £13.50 might just make a breakthrough.
Well, it all helps, doesn't it?
Definitely.
You know, I mean, that's the thing with all kinds of fundraising, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
That it's not necessarily so much about how much you make then, about how much you make. That's why I asked at the beginning how much the group have made over the years, which is a phenomenal amount of money.
Yeah, we have. It's quite good for a small committee.
Absolutely. Very good indeed. Okay, great. Let's have the first of the three tracks that you've chosen for us today. So we've got David Bowie and Queen and Under Pressure. And I can tell you that... Where is it? Yeah, here we go. It was a UK number one in 1981 and in two more countries as well. And it was top 10 in 10 more countries, and it made number 29 in the States. So why have we got this track?
It takes me back to my university days, and it just reminds me of being there in our little shack. We used to have a shack, we called it, with discos and a bar, and it just reminds me of being there and kind of all those years ago with so many new friends and getting ready to go and teach, because that's what I was training to do. It just makes me think of those days.
Blind man sat on the fence. but I don't want.
Keep coming up with love, but it's so slashed and torn.
David Bowie and Under Pressure, 27 minutes after one here on a Friday lunchtime. Time for this
Phoenix FM travel news.
So we'll go with a little bit of some of the information that you need to know. M25 anti-clockwise, very slow traffic between Junction 26, which is the A121, and Junction 25, which is the A10, following an accident. Looks like the lanes have been reopened, but there's still a long tailback there in relation to that. Centre of Billericay, it's quite busy this afternoon at High Street and around by Waitrose. We go down to Shenfield Station, quite a lot of traffic down there at this time as well. The centre of Brentwood around Wilson's Corner looks to be quite heavy, particularly coming from the direction along the Ongar Road. Very busy indeed, in fact, there at this time. So weren't you expecting that if you drive along there, aren't you, to be honest? If we go down to Brook Street roundabout, no real problems down there at all. The motorway are very clear everywhere on the rest of our area, which is good. Also, the M11 itself as well, there's no real issues on that at this time, which is good. The A12, there's, of course, a little bits of hold up along the roadworks between Margaretting and Ingatestone, but beyond that, nothing really. Hogreen still pretty easy at this time as well. Central Chelmsford quite busy though, of course, and particularly around the Army and Navy roundabout. We'll give you another update in an hour's time, and if anything major comes in, I shall let you know all about it. So chatting here with Chris and Bob about cancer research and all the activities that they've been involved with. So you listed a whole kind of different activities that you've been involved with over the years doing things like this. What do you think has been the, do you just felt the most rewarding of these things to do?
We love doing the Countess of Warwick show, which is a show in Dunmo, Little Easton, just near Dunmo. We do that every summer. It's a two-day festival over the bank holiday in August. And I think all the committee always come and help, all the family come. We set the stall up on the Saturday, and then we're there all day Sunday and Monday. And it's a real good feeling of camaraderie, isn't it? I think that we are there all together all day for 2 days, so we get a lot of time and we do laugh and joke, and it's good fun. So that's a particular one that we like doing.
Yeah, you see, this is quite interesting really, isn't it? Because I mean, this obviously you start from the reason of, well, we need to raise money for cancer research, which of course is like a given for you, and then of course all the charities out there all need loads of money as well, don't they? But actually you're painting a picture of actually of getting a lot out of doing this yourselves as well.
Definitely. We've got like a little community and a little family, and all the people on the committee have been like family over the years. And yeah, it's great fun. And Judy and John, who Judy's on the committee, and her husband, we see them lots, and we often, you know, get together and we'll do stuff. So it's nice.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like a little family.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, it sounds a bit of a Dars question, really, but why do cancer research need all this money made by people like yourself?
Well, I think when Bob was diagnosed, I remember thinking right there and then, if people hadn't done it in the past, he wouldn't have survived. You know, that would be it. There wouldn't be any research, and he would have been on his, you know, last weeks, really. So right from the start, I felt I needed to do something to pay back for those who'd done it in the past and hopefully prevent other people having to go through what we went through. Because it was tough. You know, I just found out I was pregnant with our first daughter. We didn't know what the future held, so it was all a bit, really, and a bit scary. And but, you know, joining the committee, they kind of all helped me, and they were all supportive, and It was nice. And when you're out doing stuff for cancer research, people will tell you their stories, and lots of them are lovely, happy stories, but there are some sad ones, and you just want to do what you can so that these people don't have to keep going through it, really.
Sure.
And, you know, try and put an end to it, I think.
Yeah, and so in a sense, it's very much kind of like almost like a self-help community.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, definitely. And one of our committee members at the moment, you know, she's having some more treatment, so we support her through that and help her with that, and we're there for her and keep her going. And when we do events, you know, jollies her along a bit and gives her something to laugh and joke about as well, even though she's, you know, having treatment herself.
Sure, so, sure. Yeah. So I guess, if I may ask a question, so the early days of Bob's treatment and then going through all of that, because I mean, people out there, you know, have known people, or people may have, maybe people out there now just had a diagnosis for something. So how was all that, really? How did all that feel, and how that sense of how you were trying to do the best that you could?
I think for me, I joined, as I say, to hopefully feel that I was doing something, but it does then you meet people who have been there, done it, seen it, got the t-shirt, and they support you and get you through the tricky times. So that was for me. I don't know about you. Was it supportive for you? Or,
well, when I first started treatment, there was always people you could ask. There was a thing called Backup, Cancer Patients Together. There's Macmillan. There's always someone. There's always leaflets to find stuff out and to help you out through the way, because it is quite a process getting through your chemotherapy and stuff and whatever treatment you have. But
sure, I don't want to bring back nasty memories.
No, it's fine. But, honestly, I mean, I'm quite happy to talk about it, because people should know that
they should.
It's not what it used to be. You've got a much better chance of surviving, and there's plenty of places to go, people to ask, advice to get, and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, and as you sit here and just reminding us, you know, that this was 1990, wasn't it? And so we're now in 2024, so it's a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the bit that probably sums it up was, as Bob said, when he had his treatment, recently we got talking to a doctor when his mum was ill, and he was saying about what he had, and he went, "Oh, that was a barbaric treatment. We don't use that anymore. We use bits of it, but we've really refined it." So it was, you know, the research has been done to help that to become much better treatment for people. So they've made huge progress.
That's brilliant. Now that's really good. That's really interesting to hear. That's it. Okay, great. Let's have the second track for you, which you're going to be surprised, actually, when I tell you that Frankie Valli, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, was never a hit in the UK, and only made number two in the United States of America in 1967, but never a hit over here.
Wow.
But just a well-known track of his. So why have we got this?
Well, it started, I mean, we've always been big fans of Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. We went to see the Jersey Boys numerous times. We saw Frankie Valli himself at Newmarket Racecourse. And my daughter took my mum to the O2 to see him about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe. And then it's sort of been adopted now. Whenever we have a family do, a birthday or an anniversary, it seems to come on, and a big sing-song ensues.
Yeah, well, it's that kind of stuff. What, you know, if you want to, you can sing along here. You know, I won't put the mics out. But, you know, we won't put that for the listeners through that. But we'll stick it on. Frankie Valli and Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, the second of the two tracks chosen for us today by my friends and guests here, Chris and Bob, here in the studio, talking about cancer research. And one of the big fundraising events that Cancer Research does, and wherever you happen to be listening to us today, you may well be able to be involved with and find one that's not too far away from you, is the Race for Life. One of those happens every single year, but the Race for Life 24, the information about that is out now. And as it says here, why not try something new this year and sign up for your local Race for Life event to raise money for life saving research. You can even get 50% off using the entry code RACE24NY by January the 31st. So if you go onto the Cancer Research website, you'll be able to find that code there. And yeah, you get 50% off the entry fee for taking part if you do that by the 31st of January, with 3K, 5K and 10K events happening across the UK, as well as our pretty muddy obstacle courses. There's something for all ages and abilities. Everyone is welcome at Race for Life. No matter how cancer affects us, life is worth racing for. How interesting is that? So, have you ever been involved in the Race for Life?
Yes, I've run that a number of times. The children ran as well, because it started after it was only women.
Okay.
And girls. So Mark, was our son, was quite put out because he wasn't allowed to run.
But he was.
So in the end, we did the half marathon at the London Parks to raise money so that he could join in for that. I did beat both him and my daughter. Not that I ever mention it, of course. Never remind him of that.
Never remind him.
But yeah, so we did it for a number of years, definitely. And it's good. It's something people can do to get involved. So.
Sure. And that's obviously a big kind of like fundraising activity that they've got going there as well. And then again, I guess, because there are cancer research shops around as well, aren't there? Charity shops where they it says here, They've got all kinds of different things that you can buy there, apart from items that people have given as well.
Definitely, yeah. They have lots of, they have candles and calendars and all sorts of cards, definitely. And I think if people want to do something, not everyone wants to join a committee, but they always need extra people to help. So like when we do a collection at Sainsbury's or Tesco's or anywhere like that, if somebody can just donate an hour to come and take over, really, and watch, you know, collect, so it's not just down to us six all day. So if you can donate an hour of your time, be great. Or, as I say, we've got a little band of people who knit baby clothes for us. So anything that you think you might be able to do, either go on the Cancer Research website or, you know, with Yellow Pages in my day, I don't know if it still exists.
What?
That's how I got hold of them in the first place. But yeah, definitely try, and if you think you could do something, even as a one-off, just phone up and offer and see what you could do.
Because I mean, the reality is, like we said earlier, you know, I mean, all charities need money. All charities are in trouble these days, actually.
Definitely.
Every charity you can name, and everybody who comes in here talks about charities, has said about the diminishing amount of money that is coming in, because I guess it's the wider cost of living crisis and things of this sort that are going on. But I think cancer research is one of those things that the reality is, I guess everybody listening knows somebody who's had cancer.
Definitely. Everyone will have it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and we don't need to go into the statistics, but the statistics of everybody getting it are pretty high as well, aren't they?
Definitely.
As well. So, well, thank you. Well, it's I'm sitting here watching you and how animated you are in talking about it all. It's clearly very important to you.
I think so, yeah. It's given me, obviously, a life with Bob, two extra children that we never thought we'd have after Sarah. So, you know, we've got a lot to be thankful to Cancer Research for. So, definitely, without a doubt,
absolutely.
We know we get very involved and we still are.
And we've got a little bit here from the website, which simply says, for example, here, you know, how you're making a difference. It says, £51 could buy special chemicals called restricted enzymes, which act like molecular scissors to cut long strands of DNA. This helps our scientists study cancer-causing genes more effectively. And then £168 gets or work for Professor Maria Hawkins for one day, and £248 funds the research of Dr. Robert Kerrison and his team for 2 days as they explore how to reduce barriers to bowel screening. So they've got real kind of positive things that you can find on the website that they're raising money towards.
Yeah.
So it's not just kind of like a unknown amount of money, where's it all go? But it's obviously going to really significant, important things.
And I think probably the other things, people think they just do the drugs to cure the cancer, but they also work really hard on making sure that the drugs they give you to make it as safe as possible. So I remember when Bob had his, he had a particular drug that we had to give him 6 hours after finishing his treatment. And then every 6 hours we had to set the alarm in the night, and it stopped you getting mouth ulcers. And on his last treatment, we was a bit, it's done. And we forgot to take them. We was about an hour late. And then within another hour, his mouth was full of ulcers and really uncomfortable. And it was horrible, wasn't it? Mm. So, sorry, without that treatment, you know, it's not just the treatment, it's trying to make the treatments better as well.
Right.
And they do a lot of work on that.
Yeah, that's marvellous.
I think people don't really think about.
No, well, I mean, well, the reality is a lot of people, you know, they hear the big C word and they close down and they just don't want to think about it, actually, sometimes. Yeah. But nonetheless, it's all really important and significant things.
Yeah.
Lovely, thank you. And thank you for your honesty and chatting about all of these things as well. The third and final track that you've got for us here, which is George McRae, Rock Your Baby. And I didn't know this. I knew it was a UK number one. It was also a USA number one. How many other countries do you think was number one as well? Have a guess.
10.
Have a guess.
12.
Yeah, 12. So number one in 14 countries with global sales of over 11 million. Wow, it's just amazing. So why have we got Rock You Baby?
Well, this is down to me, Patrick, really, because back in this, I think it was 1974 this came out, something like that. Anyway, yeah. Back in the 70s, we had a caravan at a place called Scrappy near Great Yarmouth. And I remember once, that summer of 74, it was number one, and it was just on the radio all the time, and we just adopted, you know, we just love it. Another song that comes on at family parties and we just dance along to and sing along to. One of them.
George McRae and Rock Your Baby, and it's all been recorded today, of course, as it always is, so that all of the chat with Chris and Bob, you'll be able to catch up with, and we're going to be chatting a little bit again later on, because they're going to be with me here all the rest of the show as well here today. We've got the birthdays competition coming up very soon.
Phoenix FM. Looking to to celebrate a birthday, anniversary, or maybe an engagement soon, at Brentwood Golf Club, our fully licensed function room is perfect for your special occasion. With reasonable room hire, a fully stocked bar, and access to decorate your theme from 10 a.m, contact Stacey or Chanel in our functions team on 01277 375 101 to find out more. Brentwood Golf Club Function Room, making your celebration that bit more special.
EV Charging Systems, your local, independent and experienced specialist home and workplace charge point suppliers and installers. With over 1,000 installations throughout Essex and East London and a 5-star excellent Trustpilot rating, we provide great personal service and are committed to help Essex drivers go green. Visit www.evchargingsystems.co.uk or call us on 01268 710 459. Install, charge and go with EV Charging Systems.
At Hutton View, we are proud to be an award-winning care home which delivers high-quality residential and dementia care. Alongside this, residents can also benefit from a wide range of inclusive services. Enjoy time in the cinema, farmhouse kitchen or landscaped gardens. For more information, search Hutton View Care Home and see for yourself why Hutton View is a care home with a difference. Hutton View, a hallmark care home.
Join me, Daniel Gregory, and the Bliss Disciples every Friday evening from 6 p.m. as I delve into a rich 2-hour musical tapestry meticulously created to uplift your spirits and set the perfect tone for the weekend ahead.
Guess the ages, guess the year. The Friday teaser on 123 with Patrick Schering on Phoenix 98 FM.
So here we go with the birthdays competition. If you've never played this before, well, all that really happens is I give you a clue about an artist, play a track by them, and then if you want to take part, you can email me in radio@phoenixfm.com, or you can just play along, or of course if you're listening to the recording off the website, of which there are record numbers of people doing that these days, thank you very much for being part of that. If you are the people who do that, then of course you can't really send it in. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Okay, the first person that we've got today is Athol George Guy, an Australian musician who is a member of the Australian folk pop music group The Seekers, for whom he played double bass and sings. He was very recognisable by his black framed Buddy Holly style glasses, and during live performances often acted as the group's compere. The Seekers had many hits during the 1960s, including I'll Never Find Another You, A World of Our Own, The Carnival Is Over, and Georgie Girl. All were written or co-written by Tom Springfield, and many of them were awarded gold discs. Together, The Seekers have sold 50 million records worldwide. The band disbanded in 1968, but Athol Guy went on to have a television presenting career. So the question is, how old is Athol Guy from The Seekers? Radio at Phoenix FM. And these are The Seekers with Someday, One Day.
Before
It's The Seekers and Someday, One Day, and Athol Guy, the very well recognisable guy, if you can remember back to The Seekers, they're playing the double bass. How old do we think he is? Afternoon to Patrick in Ingatestone, we've just heard from with his answers. Good to hear from you, Patrick. Also, Chris in Guildford, nice to have you there. All the regulars are here as well, because Chris and Bob are here with me today in the studio. If you've never emailed me in, it would be really lovely to have you take part as well in this. If you wanted to, it's just very easy. It's just radio@phoenixfm.com. Okay, second person that we've got today, born Victoria and Teresa Peterson Cowsill, but known as Vicky Peterson. An American rock musician and songwriter. She's been lead guitarist for the Bangles since their foundation in 1981. After their disbandment in 1989, she had returned to the band for all subsequent reunions. In the intervening years, she's performed with many other artists, in particularly with a group called the Continental Drifters. So the question is, how old do we think Vicky Peterson is? radio@phoenixfm.com. And this is Manic Monday, a USA number two and a UK number two, and number two in three more countries as well, but it managed to make number one in South Africa.
Across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.